Hey, Oasis Church Chicago, Pastor JP here. Hey, we're so glad that you're joining with us on our podcast today. I pray today that this message stirs your faith, that it builds you up, that it draws you closer to the Father's heart, and ultimately that you just feel the embrace of heaven. We would love to stay connected with you and you to stay connected with us. So please feel free to check us out on our website, oasischurchchicago.com, or download our app, Oasis Church Chicago. Also, you can be sure to join with us on our live stream on our YouTube page every Wednesday night and Sunday morning. Now here's today's message.
Thank you, Jayden. Oh man, I feel at home. Man, it's a different spirit in here. Before I honor your pastors, there's a couple things I want to say really quick that was on my heart. One, you know, how you posture yourself before God determines how he responds to you. Posture is everything in the kingdom. We so wrapped up in American Christianity that we forget we serve a king. He's a king. He's not your homie. He's not your political choice. He's a king. And something about Wednesday nights is only the hungry show up. This place should be packed out. But God is producing for himself a remnant. And hunger and thirst is not given by God. It's desired of him. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. He didn't say, I'm going to give you hunger to thirst after me. Because God does not invade men's will. I feel, do y'all feel that? Yeah. Y'all know he's here? Yeah. He said I had to get my heart right before I came up here. Me and my wife had a conversation in the car. A heated conversation. You know, I'm the preacher that live what I preach. So I want to publicly ask my wife to forgive me. Okay, thank you. I'm free now. All right, let's go. I can preach, you know? I wasn't planning on sharing my story, JP. I really want to get to the word, but I think I'm just going to do a really short. I'm going to do my short story. It's going to give context to what you're about to witness. So I'm going to pray, if that's okay, it will get started. Cool. Y'all good? I feel good. I feel he's here. Long as he's here, I'm good. Come on. Can we give it up for the worship team, too? My God. So good. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. That Hebrew word inhabit means to sit. God comes and sit in your worship. Isn't that beautiful? He chills. He sits. God sits in our worship. How humbling is that? 1.4 million gods. Not one other God can make that claim. He's one of one. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You will not be grieved. You will not be offended. I give you complete reign and authority. Holy Spirit, I ask you to articulate the Father's heart through my voice to your people. I pray that every ear is open, every heart is open, every mind is open to receive that which you have for us. So I humbly ask you to invade this space. It is not by might. It is not by power, but it is by your Spirit. Do in this time as you will, in Jesus' name, amen. Do you know there is no time in the spirit? When you pray and release a word, it leaves physical time to hit the spirit. Why did Paul say pray without ceasing? The more you pray, you create a highway lane. Listen to me. When you pray continually, you create a highway from earth to heaven. When you stop praying, you hit 290 at 6 o'clock. B, I forgot. How crazy trying to get on 290 is. It's been a few years. I was was bugging. And I gave myself 30 minutes extra. I mean, and people in Chicago still crazy. They stay all the way in the right lane and get in last minute. I feel that is not integrous at all. But some of our life is clogged because we're inconsistent in prayer. Your prayer time is God's invitation for you to get involved in what he's already doing. Prayer is an invitation. Well, God, why ain't I invited? Because I ain't praying. Y'all good? I'm normally a fiery preacher, but I feel like teaching. I'm going to teach. I'm going to share my quick story. I'm from Chicago, born and bred. I don't know, I'm what, 8.5 miles from here on the south side. Grew up in the housing projects. I was raised by a single grandmother who raised 9 kids on welfare. And when I was 10 months old, my mother was murdered at the age of 17. So my mom had my brother at 14, had me at 16. She was shot in the head at 17. I've never met my father, don't know who he is. My uncle was in a gang, he was murdered at 17. My aunt was in a domestic violent relationship, her boyfriend murdered her at 28. And I had another aunt that died from a brain tumor from asbestos in the projects. So my grandmother raised 9 kids, 4 died, she raised 9 grandbabies. We slept 3 to a bed, it was very poor. I was a kid that had holes in my shoes. I was a kid downtown selling M&Ms, telling you I'm playing for the baseball team. Come on, love on those kids. They just trying to hustle, you know what I'm saying? But my desk sat next to the teachers. I was a kid that was in trouble. I started gangbanging early. I was selling crack cocaine by 14. Made it to high school by a miracle. My high school was 2,500 kids. I was a 4-year starter on the basketball team, and I was the man. No, for real, I was the man. I could do whatever I wanted with whoever I wanted, however I wanted, but no one told me at the end of popularity was emptiness. And so I was trying to fill a void in my heart. At that time, I had no idea that only Jesus can fill. So I was being recruited to play. I always wanted to leave Chicago. I was like, give her brother a scholarship to Alaska. Send me to Africa. Get me up out of here. I ended up scoring a 14 on my ACT. So that landed me at a community college. And when I was 19 years old, my first cousin, who met this girl, walked her home. Her dad built a relationship with him. He gave his life to Christ, and he told me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what was so significant about his life is at 16 years old, he had 300 kids on his count. He was a gang leader in our neighborhood. 300 kids on his count at 16. And I saw his life change in a day. And he told me the gospel. I accepted Christ at 19. My life changed. I finished at that community college, transferred to Olivet Nazarene University, got my bachelor's and master's degree. I'm the first in my family ever to go to college and get a college degree. Come on, somebody. And then God got a sense of humor. I met my wife there, 4 kids. We was team chaplains to the Cincinnati Bengals for 8 years. We've been serving pro athletes for 12. We transitioned from that. We've been married to family pastors in Greenville, South Carolina, at a church there. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And so here it is about your testimony. It's God. You just share it. When your story get in God's story, you make history. You know, God has you here for a reason. Are you hearing me? For me to even utter that out my mouth doesn't even make sense because my mother was a prostitute. So for 20 years of my life, I thought I was an accident. Until I found a place where it was written, I formed you in your mother's womb. What? So it does not matter how you got here. It's what you do with what you have while you're here. That's on you, not God. God's greatest pleasure is to be believed. His greatest doubt, his greatest pain is to be doubted. If he created the sun and that sucker's still shining, how many of y'all have fruit today? God spoke seed time and harvest. None of those things are made in his image. God made you. You know what that word image in Hebrew means? To take a photograph. God took a selfie and made you. You look like your daddy. And everything God made was. Now your heart's a different issue, but you good. You must be born again. Come on, somebody. All right, really quick, man, I feel Mark chapter 4. I want to just talk about the parable of the sower really quick. Because this is a hungry church. And your greatest defense against deception is the word. If you read when Jesus began talking about the last days, the disciples came to him like, yo, Jesus, when is all this going to happen? Jesus didn't say, hey, all right, there's going to be wars, rumors of wars. There's going to be kings. No, that ain't the first thing he said. You know the first thing Jesus said? Do not be deceived. What? Do not be deceived. And it wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. So the deception that's taking place in your life is on you, not God. He held them accountable to not be deceived. No, we want TikTok preachers. We want reels, but we ain't real. The word of God. Do you know what God went through to get us this word? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the lengths that God went through to get us his word? You know what I was thinking about? Do you know the lengths God went through to get music from heaven to earth? Music is spiritual first. If we can see in the spirit, every time he hit a key, it's a color. Did you know that? The Hebrew language is a color, a sound, a word picture. God had to get something supernatural on paper for it to become supernatural. Are y'all hearing me? We look at the Bible as if it's just a book. It is the most supernatural literature on the planet. It's alive. It's living. Y'all, Jesus said, this is, y'all. He said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus, about to kick off his ministry, goes to the temple in Luke chapter 4. The Bible says he finds the prophet Isaiah's writings, and he found what was written of himself. What? Jesus had to find himself in the book? Where you been looking? Facebook? IG? We'll get up in the morning and check our feed instead of checking his. Mark chapter 4. I love y'all. Mark 4. Y'all got to read it on your own. We just going to pick up the parable. I'm going to walk the text. Everyone say walk the text. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 13. Jesus tells this parable to the crowd, but when his disciples was alone, he revealed the parable to them. Revelation comes at intimacy. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Pause. If you do not understand Mark chapter 4, you can't understand no parable in the Bible. Your revelation of this parable were breeding you a hunger for the word. If you plant, all right, let's next verse, a little more slow down. Verse 14, I'll be done. Y'all good? Verse 14, the sower sows the word. He sows what? And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, where they hear and Satan comes immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Your earlobe, everyone grab your ear, grab your earlobe. Your ear is the gateway to your spirit, man. Listen, y'all. Have you ever wondered, and just do your homework. I'm a student of the word. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. Listen, do homework and find out how many miracles did to open deaf ears. Then read through and tally, Jesus' number one ministry in the Bible was demon. He cast out more demons in his ministry than any miracle. Research it. Listen, Jesus, count up how many ears he opened. And then you get to blind Bartimaeus, who never saw a miracle. But he what? Heard. He never saw a miracle. Ever. But he heard Jesus was coming and he cried out all the more. He heard the word. Your earlobes is the gateway to who you really are. So what you hear matters. So listen to what Jesus is saying. He, come on, who hears, Satan comes when? How come Satan never take timeouts? I don't know about Wednesday. Sunday good, but you know, I might just want to Netflix it, catch up on my series. Your greatest enemy never takes a timeout. Soon as you hear the word, notice he only comes for the word. He don't come for knowledge. See, there's a lot of people who know of the word but don't know the word. Your heart is the seat of incubation for revelation. If it don't get in your heart, it's ineffective. It could get here, and that's cool. But Satan don't care if it get in your mind. He wants it when it hits what? Your heart. The real you, your physical heart, boom, 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 that dude. You're walking because that brother is moving. You have a spiritual heart. It sits right in the middle, right above your stomach, right under your heart. It's your spirit, man. That's the real you. Remember that gut feeling? That's a spiritual saying. The world took it. The real you sits here. That's where the word goes when you sow it. Not here. It recycles in here a little bit, then that sucker about to travel on down. Don't let it stay up here. Come on, somebody. Because then you start having mental fights with your thoughts and you lose. Because all spiritual war starts in the mind, but it's won with the mouth. And out of the abundance of your... So you got to say something when you think, ladies, stop having wrestling thoughts together in your thoughts. You got to say something. Do something, say something. In Jesus' name, I will not allow this emotion to lead my life. Yes. Greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world. Are you with me? So if it's out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speak, you got to get something in there. So Satan comes when? Immediately and takes away the word that was sown where? In the heart. Satan don't care if it hits your mind. Well, Pastor Lamorse, how do I get the word in my heart? My God, you speak it. Faith comes by. What you hear gives a picture in you. You would never be able to outperform the inner picture you have of yourself. You have to convince the inner you that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You got to convince that. We convinced of everything else. We'll ride the culture wave like it ain't nothing, boy. We'll hang right on the culture. We'll ride a donkey or an elephant. Come on, somebody. I'm in Chicago. I'm about to slow down, man. 15. And these are the ones sown by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear it, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown by stony ground, who when they what? Hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves. And so endure only for a time. Afterward, when what? Tribulation or persecution arises for what? Let's pause. Oh, this is good. Listen, listen, listen. Y'all, he says, when it's sown in their heart, they have no root. That root translates confidence. You got to believe in the word. When you read the word, stop listening to these dudes who say all these false things about the Bible does not contradict itself. When someone says that, I get so excited because it reveals to me they've never read it. You can find Jesus on every page. The Bible does not contradict itself. It's a lack of understanding. No, you don't have confidence. He who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You're going to find God through his word. But you got to sow it. And then that word become a word picture in your spirit. I cannot be unconvinced of this thing. Because I've sown it. Y'all with me? He says, why do tribulation come? Why do persecution come? Stop taking stuff personal. The moment you take it personal, you give the seed of the word away. It's not personal. It ain't even you. It's what's in you. And you mad at people when it's a spiritual issue. They trying to get the word. Satan don't care about you. He just don't want you to have the word in you. Don't take it personal. You better walk in agape. Agape love is your freedom of offense. Love can't be offended. It can't. It's impossible. Come on. If I, inside the seed of an apple seed, in the DNA of that seed, by design, it has everything it needs to become a tree. It's in its DNA. I don't got to add to it. I ain't got to manipulate it. By design, in the DNA of an apple seed, a whole tree in there. Only thing I have to do is sow it. In the DNA of the word, it's a seed. Everything you need is in the seed. You got to sow it. Get it in your heart. It will produce by design. You need hope? Go to the word. You dealing with depression? Go to the word. You dealing with anxiety? Go to the word. Now I got to listen to my favorite song. If that song ain't the word, there's no hope. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my, why wouldn't you want something eternal in you? Forever! Well, I got 5 minutes, JP. Is that right? Clock 5 minutes? Give me 5 minutes. 18. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who what? Hear the word. Did you notice every single one of these hearts hear the word? This is why it's important to what you hear. Turn off GCI, sports talk radio. Why don't you just take a whole week of just sowing the word in your heart and see what it'll do for you? I'm telling you, it'll change your life. Listen to this, verse 19. This person hear the word. In the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in and does what? Choke the word. In what? It. What's the it? Is it the person? No. What's the it? The word. So when you are desiring the things of this world, that word you just sown becomes unfruitful. And then we get mad at God. We get mad at God because we don't have no word. He's like, I gave you my word. Sow it. And God's in heaven cheering us on. Get in the word. Get in the word. Get in the word. Come on. Get in the word. The deceitfulness of riches. I ain't even got time. People chasing money. Chasing money. I mean, physical stuff. God know you got to live. God know you got to pay your bills. Don't chase it. Just be faithful. Come on, we work with millionaires for 12 years. 10,000, we set, house set, a 10,000 square foot house for a whole summer. What are you going to do with a 10,000 square foot house? I mean, in an ultra king size bed. This dude was like 6'7". Ultra king. I don't even know what that is. How many, I don't know how, 5 car garage, 6 car garage, I don't know what it was. Stupid. No peace in his soul. None. Why are riches deceitful? Have you ever thought about this? Why are riches deceitful? Because another king determines its value. You have no control over the value of what you take, man. We got a king who determines our value. The King of Kings. He died for you. Come on. God knows about giving away riches. He gave his only son, his most valued possession. Don't chase that stuff. Chase my son. Almost done. Lord, have mercy. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. How many of y'all know the verse when David said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. How many of y'all know that verse? For you know how many years? For years, I'm thinking like, all right, man, I'm trying to, this is the honest to God truth. We dropped our dogs off to a friend, and I pull up to the house, and there's a 1996 Chevy Impala. I remember 22 years old going to a dealership on 159th, laying hands on a black one. Come on, somebody. I grew up in the prosperity gospel, you know. I was all in the parking lot praying for stuff. Huh? In Jesus' name, come to me now. That's my God. In Jesus' name. I asked my wife, I saw this car. I said, babe, I remember I was 22 years old. I was believing God for that car. You know, the first car I had was a Mercury Tracer. Come on, somebody. Station wagon. You remember that, babe? That brown one? You remember that, JP? Gave that thing to Malachi quick. Take this, my ass. I was believing for this car, laying hands and everything. Faith. Sow a seed. Y'all, stuff. Stuff. My desire, I want the car. No, that is not what that verse means. The Hebrew translation of that verse is, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll put a desire he has in you to desire for his desire. Isn't that amazing? Don't you want to desire what God wants you to desire? Why? Because everything he desires just works out for your good. He got you. You single? He got you. Delight in him. Man, that clock is tripping. He said, these things choke the word. Have you ever seen that meme when there's a frog in the ostrich's mouth and he holding on to his neck? Y'all know what I'm talking about? What's that bird called? There's a meme. Y'all, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? There's a meme with the, what's the bird from, with the big old beak on the sea, always on the dock? Pelican, stork, pelican. The pelican got a frog in his mouth. You can see his feet hanging out. But the frog got the pelican's neck so he don't swallow him. You know what I'm talking about? That's what Satan does. He chokes the word. The word trying to get down. But because you got so much other stuff, your desire isn't right. And the problem, JP, is we get so filled up on Instagram and IG and Netflix. By the time we get here, we so full, we can't even receive. We full. I was serving. That message was No, JP could have done better. Because before you get to church, you scroll for 50 minutes. Almost done. Y'all good? Is that like my fifth closing? What's that called? All right, anyway. The cares of this world. It's only a couple verses left. Then I'm gonna point out something y'all probably even never. Y'all don't love the Bible? The Bible is so intriguing to me. Ask my wife, it's intriguing. I freaking love it. I learn something new every day. It's beautiful. Listen to this. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things, and choke the world, and it. What's the it? The word. People walking around with unfruitful word. If you choke something, it can't grow. But, how many of you guys love buts in the Bible? Come on, somebody. If this was a marriage conference, I would totally say something else. Come on, somebody. But these are the ones sown on what? Good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. There's character attached. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and 100-fold. All right, I'm finished with this. All right, just go over one verse. This is amazing to me. So the disciples hears this, right? He just explained the five different soils of the heart for the word. The sower sows the word. They all got ears. They all heard. Are y'all with me? Stay with me. So now I want you to look at this in a different light, okay? Then after Jesus says this, verse 35, same chapter. He just told them and gave them the word. Y'all with me? On the same day, everyone say same day. When evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. What did he say? Let's go to the other side. Was it a question? Okay, I just want to make sure. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. How many of y'all know the story? But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Bro, knocked out. But he was what? Asleep on a pillow. A pillow. Google how many times the word pillow is in the Bible. This is what I do when I read the word. I don't know what y'all be thinking. Listen to this. This is amazing. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Listen to what it says. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Listen to this. But he said to them, so Jesus spoke to three people. All right, let me keep going. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How does faith come? By hearing what? Didn't they just hear the word? Didn't he just say, let's go to the other side? It was sown on what kind of ground? The storm, if you just do some research, you research everything else. Just research the Sea of Galilee and if there are ever temperate storms. These are fishermen. They boat for a living. How you scared in your profession, B? You know what I'm saying? You scared of boating and this is what you do all day. It was a supernatural storm because Satan came to get the word immediately. And then Jesus said, why do you have fear? Because fear and faith can't reside in the same heart. If you're dealing with fear, sow the word. You're dealing with worry, sow the word. Anxiety, sow the word. Fear of the future, sow the word. Anxiety, depression, sow the word. Woke that brother up. Jeez, I just told you he was coming. I just told you that. Same day. Here's my challenge to you, Oasis. Sow the word. Get the word in you. It's your greatest weapon. Get it. Just sow it. Well, Pastor Morris, how do I do it? Meditate on the word. I sleep with the Bible on all the time. Your spirit don't sleep. Only reason why you need sleep because you got a flesh. The word was in the boat with them. He's the word. In every storm of your life, he's with you. He promised to never leave you nor forsake you. But you have the authority to exercise what's written. So don't be offended at God. Check your heart. When you hear the word, how do you respond? You should be so attuned to the word that your spirit can hear error. It's easy for me to know who really teach the word. Some of these moms be wilding out, saying good stuff, but no word. Make good for a clip, but no word. So come on, Oasis. Y'all the hungry people. See, I could talk to y'all like this. Sunday morning, you know, I'm this way all the time to keep it 100. That's just who I am. But Wednesday nights, y'all the hungry crowd. Stay hungry for the word. Don't worry about nothing else. If you just get in the word, once you get it in you, it works. What did Peter say? The word of God works effectually. It's that Greek word is it's a verb. It's this act of like, it's almost like when Paul tells us the power, the dunamis power, right? Y'all know the dunamis, the Greek word, right? Everybody know? It's where we get the word dynamite. You shall be filled with dynamite. Come on, somebody. Come on, we in Chicago, 4th of July fireworks. Come on, Taste of Chicago, right? Y'all used to steal so much from the Taste, y'all. Let me just repent again, Lord have mercy. You got power in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you add the word, you get another layer of dynamite. Come on, JP, let me pray. I don't know how you want to close this thing out. If you just want a greater measure of God's Spirit, just stand at your feet. I want to pray for you. Just, my God. Y'all, we not victims. We ain't no victims. We're the church. Amen. Do you know what that means? You know what the word church means? Outcalled ones. There's something different about you. Don't be walking around like you're a victim and people are feeling sorry for you. No, B. That's right. You're a child of God. Demons tremble when you enter workplaces, yes, and restaurants, yes, and subway stations and, yes, Amtrak, so whatever y'all do here in Chicago, I don't miss none of it. Come on, somebody. Greater is he that lives in you. Greater is he. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. He lives. He don't visit. He lives in you. Let him out. Walk in authority. Walk in the power. Walk in the word. We are God's hands and feet to this jacked up world. And God is leaning on you. He's saying, come on. Come on, soldiers. Get equipped. Stop going to the battlefield with empty clips. Come on, y'all. Let's change this city. Don't worry about what nobody else doing. Get in your word. Meditate on your word. Sow it day and night, and then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Come on, somebody. Hunger for God's word. That's the remedy for all our problems. It's his word. Come on. So just as an act of faith, just put your hands up. I'm just going to speak. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for a supernatural encounter with your word. That every time the word is open, Lord, that the words from your lips that's been telegraphed on paper will jump off into the hearts of your people. That we don't take your Bible casually. That we hunger for it. We desire it more than our necessary food. May we eat it, drink it. You said it's the bread of life. It's living word. It's alive. It's sharp. It's powerful than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the son of the heart's intents and intents of the heart, motives of the heart, even through bone and marrow. It's physical healing in the word. So I speak that into God's people. In Jesus' name, amen.